Right after I recorded this episode of AGP, I remembered something that I neglected to mention in the episode, and I decided to put it in at the start. Recently, Adam was, I hope I pronounced that right, of the Festa Sophomores that passed away due to cancer. He worked on art in many of the games that I consider my favorite games of all time. Oblivion, Skyrim, Fallout 3. His work truly inspired the imagination of me and many other people who love video games. He did a lot of amazing work, and his work will be remembered throughout the test of time as some of the best in video game history. I want to just say, just try to say how much Adam indirectly affected me. One of the main reasons I love video games today is because of Oblivion. And one of the main reasons I love Oblivion was its amazing art. Of course, I can't talk about the man as a person, because I never knew him personally. But I hope that I can believe that he was a great person. I believe he was, in fact, someone who was passionate about his work, and must have been passionate about other aspects of life, too. As I mentioned before, he passed away of cancer, and if you can, please try to donate to some cancer research. It is a serious illness, one that we need to address before it takes more lives of people that we love. Once again, Adam, of the Festa Software, rest in peace.
We'll prove untrue. Then what will I do? Maybe you'll sit inside, wishing that I were near. Then maybe you'll ask me to come back again. And maybe I'll say maybe.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Untrue Gator Podcast, episode number 11. This week is a one-man, one-microphone episode. I'm going to be your host, your sole host. No one else is going to be here except for an interview at the end with Chris, making an imaginary. I'm going to be talking about what I've been playing this week, some fun stuff I've been playing a lot, and the news, and then there's going to be the interview, as I already mentioned. Please sit back and enjoy the show. And if you don't enjoy the show, just pretend that you are, because people are probably watching you, and you can't have that terrible, angry look on your face all the time. It's just not gonna work. It doesn't work on you. I'm assuming that there's only one person listening to this podcast, and that one person does, I know what they look like, and that angry deader face just isn't working for them. Ready to listen to a podcast that may not be entertaining. So, this week, the main game I played is Ubisoft released platformer called Outland. For those who don't know, Outland is a Metroidvania-esque, and I do mean esque in the most prevalent sense I can, because it's not exactly, it's a Metroidvania-esque platformer. It has an interesting, very interesting African kind of theme. I really like, the music is ridiculously beautiful. I'll start with that. I love pan flutes and all that, and it feels kind of just nature-y. Not even African, I take that back. There is some Native American, African kind of stuff, but it just feels nature-y. It just feels like a very nature-oriented. There's a lot of green, there's a lot of natural colors, there's a lot of yellow, green, just these kind of these colors that you see in the real world, and I love that a lot. And there's also a lot of really interesting set pieces and a lot of different interesting villains, enemies that you can fight. I also like the gameplay a lot because it has a style similar to Japanese shoot 'em up called Ikaruga. And I hope I pronounced that right. I might have some weirdo fans that can correct me if I have any fans to listen at all. It has a style where you have a blue and a red, two alternate colors that interact with the game. I think you can kind of guess where I'm going with that. There's a lot of puzzles based on it, there's a lot of enemies there to kill based on it. And it works remarkably well. I really enjoy the challenge that comes from the quick changing of colors in different circumstances. I like it a lot. It's a very fun mechanic, and I'm glad that Ikaruga introduced it. Also, I just have to talk about the art for a minute, because that's what got the most attention of this game. It's the art. The art is beautiful. It is gorgeous. If you watch the game in motion, you want to play it. As I mentioned before, it's a very earth-oriented game, if you will. There's a lot of earthy feel to it, and I love it a lot. It's just vibrant and colorful and very, very beautiful. It rivals anything, any painting. It is like watching, it is like playing a painting, a beautiful painting. It looks so, so pretty, and it looks so warm, but at the same time scary. I just can't explain the game. You can't even look at screenshots and accurately explain the contrasts and the way that it works. It is remarkable. I'm always astonished when I play that game on my crappy little, well, it's not crappy, it's HD, but it's a little TV. And I can still just marvel at the beauty that this game renders. So you should definitely check that out. Outland, you can get it on PSN or Xbox Live. I heard that it did well, but I imagine it could have done better because when that game came out, PSN went down for a few months right as the game came out. So there was a lot of people that didn't buy it because they forgot to. I got it from a friend, and then I paid for it eventually, and I am not regretting the purchase at all. It is a challenging game, like many Metroidvania-esque games, but it's also very fun, it's very rewarding, and you just enjoy the game. You feel the game is intense. You feel like you are in this world, and it's a strange, natural world that doesn't exist. It reminds me of Skyrim, of the way that it creates this world that you don't experience anymore. You don't get to walk out in the United States. You don't get to walk out of your house and go and see this beautiful world of strong pillars. There's a lot of urbanization, modernization that has migrated away from the world. And video games are bringing it back and reminding us of what the world is like outside of our own homes, and I applaud it for that too. It is a remarkable game, and it's only like $10, so if you don't buy it after hearing what I just said, you are a bad person. You just don't even deserve to play games anymore. I love it, and you should love it too. So, a big piece of news this week was a lawsuit between Zynga and social apps. A federal court in Oakland, California has denied a motion to dismiss a suit against the social gaming company Zynga, filed by Social Apps LLC. The developer, Social Apps LLC, sued Zynga, claiming the company had copied its Facebook game, My Farm. They claimed Zynga had been interested in buying the code for My Farm, and they had begun sharing due diligence material. In 2009, Social Apps LLC began sharing information and source code to develop Farmville. However, Zynga eventually stopped contacting Social Apps LLC and released the game on their own, not paying Social Apps LLC for the content that, according to Social Apps, made the game possible. The judge ruled that since My Farm was online 6 months before the original letter agreement, the images and features of My Farm were already public. However, the judge did support other claims like Social Apps LLC, including breach of implied contract. The judge's ruling, according to Social Apps LLC, did not affect the lawsuit at all. That being said, I think it did influence the lawsuit a little bit. Some of the claims that Social Apps LLC, according to the judge, are untrue. That being said, there's still infringement of contract, and I assume some copyright infringement, even though there isn't any industry secrets that are being lost. Personally, I am completely for Social Apps LLC if the allegation that they took source material from Zynga, source material from them, they should definitely receive compensation for a very successful game. Zynga trying to cover this up is not good at the company, and since I'm not a big fan of Zynga anyway, I kind of hope that they lose this fight in the long run. That being said, their allegations may be not true, in which case that makes a completely different matter. I don't know enough about this. There's always a side, two sides to a story, and I'm interested to see more. In other video game news, as it just happens, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is going to be a thing, most likely. Not only did Activision pick up the Call of Duty Black Ops 2 website URL, they picked up that a long time ago, there was also a split-second listing on Amazon for the product Call of Duty Black Ops 2. It's not surprising that there is going to be another Black Ops, as Black Ops was one of the highest-selling games of all time, as every Call of Duty in like the last 5 years has been. It's kind of like Modern Warfare 2 coming out, and then being angry because someone guessed that there's going to be another Modern Warfare. I don't know why anyone would ever assume that a company like Activision would want to make money off of a product that does well. It doesn't make sense to me. Activision always seems like a company that wouldn't lead a series dry at all. It seems like a very nice, loving, artistic and intellectually apt company. That being set aside, what really interested me was Activision's response. A website that reported on the leak of Call of Duty Black Ops 2 and its likely existence, a French website, was blacklisted by Activision because of it. For doing their job, Activision has basically blacklisted them from any company events. For one, that's an extremely juvenile way to handle something like that, especially since it wasn't really their fault. They're a news website. They report on news. That's kind of their forte, if you will. They weren't trying to hurt Call of Duty at all. they were even promoting what will eventually come out, a new Call of Duty game. They're giving it free promotion on their website. They're just doing their job. And Activision, being a very, very, very profitable video game publisher, should have a better method of dealing with news agencies than they do. It always stuns me to see the incompetence of some of the people in the games industry. The Activision really doesn't drop the ball this badly that often. People may not like Activision, and I was making a pretty long-winded joke just a minute ago about their practices of games, but they generally don't do things like this. I don't understand what did them in the butt that they just randomly decided to lash at a French company just doing their job of reporting on games. Obviously, Activision will probably retract the statement very soon, because once they realize that their hissy fit is over, and that people do notice when the biggest video game company in the world does something this incredibly stupid. Okay, so our guest is Chris, and right now he's working on a project called Imagine Me. Rather than me trying to explain it to you, I'm gonna allow him to explain the game to you. So what is Imagine Me?
Imagine Me is a platformer game that you play as Robbie, and Robbie is in this world that he has no idea anything about, and he has no idea who he is or how he got there, and you're just trying to help him figure out everything and try to get his way out.
There's a lot of, I want to talk about the game more, of course, which we're going to do later on, but I want to start from the start, when you went on to Kickstarter. Why did you decide to use Kickstarter, and how did this idea for having a self-funded game kind of come about?
I knew that I didn't have any money myself, but I knew that Kickstarter was really big, and that I'm sure someone out there would want to see some of the games that I make. So I just came up with an idea and put it up there. That was about it.
So obviously this game has been marketed. It's people have learned about it because of the internet. Where did you go? How did you get the word out? I saw you using Twitter, but I assume that you did more than just Twitter.
Yes, I did Twitter, Facebook, and word of mouth. Reddit.
You used Reddit. What was your experiences with Reddit? I used it a little bit, but how did the community Reddit treat you?
They were really good. They were excited about it, so I never had a bad experience at all.
Did they randomly bring up, atheism or something? Was that involved at any point?
Did they bring up what?
Never mind. So you used Reddit and Facebook and all this. So do you think that, without all these tools, without Reddit, without Facebook, would you have been able to get this funded? So how much money did you raise, and what was the original goal?
5,000, and my original goal was 5,000, and then I made, 5,200.
Okay, well, how long did that take you?
60 days.
60 days, that would be, two months?
Yeah.
Alright, so in that time, did you ever feel like you weren't going to get this game made? Like, you weren't going to get enough money? Or did you just assume that the money would come eventually, as it did?
No, there's obviously anxiety the whole time.
Yeah,
especially towards the end, just wasn't sure what was going to happen.
I assumed that you did hear about Double Fine, and I think you tweeted about it, so, Do you think that this is Kickstarter is the way of the future? I know that Double Fine isn't proposing funding Call of Duty. They aren't making a Call of Duty-sized game from Kickstarter funds. But do you think that for smaller projects, even by mainstream developers, that we will start to see Kickstarter used more often?
Of course. I don't know why they wouldn't. And it was just a matter of time. We've seen this in bigger scales before. I mean, Minecraft is a great example of it. It didn't use Kickstarter exactly, but it did use crowdsource funding. And look at how big it became.
There's something to be said when you invest in a game on Kickstarter. There's a feeling of ownership to whatever you invest in. So I assume that there's people constantly reminding you that you need to finish your game, people that want it made and are extremely excited for it, even if they just donate a little bit of money.
Yeah, there's always that constant reminder.
You might forget that you're making a game, so these people just take it upon themselves to remind you.
Sometimes. It's not like that all the time, though.
Okay, so...
I would never forget a project like this, so...
I also forgot to ask you, what... People don't know that much about you, most likely. I'd like to think that they do, but I can't assume that, because I've been wrong before about people. So what have you done in the games industry prior to Imagine Me? Where did you start and where did you go up to that point?
Well, I went to college for game design development, and then after that I went directly to Sweden to work on a game with some friends.
You've been working?
And then I went to Activision QA, and I worked online QA and worked on, like, NASCAR 2011, Transformers the Game, GoldenEye, and a bunch of other games there. And then now I'm a software engineer at Gray Squid Division, and we make all types of different games, and right now we're working on a mobile app, so...
You said you were in Q&A, am I correct?
Yeah.
So... Q&A, I'm not exactly familiar with what they do, but they test out games, they look at how the games work, is that kind of what they do?
Yep, they make sure that everything is meeting deadlines and making sure that everything looks appropriate and functions appropriately.
So, you kind of have the best of both worlds. If you're developing this game yourself, you're programming it, so... But you also you're having to be your own Q&A tester. You have to kind of look at what you do yourself and determine if it should be there. And I assume that that's hard to do when you make something and you realize that it's not going to work. You have to cut it out. Is there ever times where you just know that something will not work, but you still want to do it anyway?
Right away what you need to do in order to fix it, and if you can't fix it, then there's no point in it being there.
So how do you test your games? I assume that you played a lot yourself, but do you ever go to friends or some or family and just kind of ask them to play the game and see how it works?
Right now it's not in the stage where I really want to show too many people like that, but yeah, pretty much the testing is consists of me just writing the code and then seeing if it works. So, and then eventually I'll just look at all of it and go through and make sure it all works together.
Alright, how do you think of the, you're making this game yourself, where does all this come from? Do you get inspired by things that you see? Like, what was the genesis of this idea of the game? Yeah, it's just kind of an interesting idea, and...
I don't know, it just kind of happened, really. I mean, I just wanted to make a game, that's all.
I am not an authority to speak on what the game is about, and you kind of described it briefly earlier, but, it's a platformer game.
Yep.
And you, what is the story behind it?
You're trapped in Robbie, the main character, world that he has no idea where he came from or how he got there. And you are helping him through your computer to get him out of there.
So is it kind of like a breaking the fourth wall kind of thing where you're not controlling the character as much as you are helping the character yourself? Okay. There's always that kind of suspension of disbelief when I'm playing any game, whether it be Skyrim or Portal, where I kind of just have to pretend that I am that character. And so it's interesting that you're doing it this way, where you aren't necessarily the character all the time. You're just kind of helping along, and then sometimes you're just providing a helping hand to.
But the rest of it, you just have to hope that you prepared yourself for when you can't control it.
Okay. So all that kind of, I don't want to ask you too much about what's going to be in the game because I want to be surprised just as much as anyone else, and you wouldn't tell me anyway. But how is this game coming together right now? Like, how far away are you from releasing the game?
Well, right now, it was earlier that I had to tell people that I needed more time to make this game. And that wasn't something that anybody wanted to hear. But it just wasn't at a point where I felt that I wanted to put this out. It just wasn't there at all. And I didn't want to constantly put updates out either that eventually made the game to what I wanted to be. I did my Kickstarter project so that I could do the game in my own time and do things how I wanted. Right now, I just needed more time. But it'll be out in 2012 for sure. I'm trying to go summer, but we'll see. Like I said, I'm just trying to make sure this is the best game possible. And having a longer dev cycle isn't a problem. I mean, waiting for a good game is perfectly okay, but waiting for a bad game, it always will be a bad game. So.
Okay, so obviously this is your project. There isn't a studio behind this. You're kind of a lone operator. But do you call on help for making art or music or sound design, or is it all kind of yourself doing it?
Sound, I have a friend that's helping me with that in Sweden, and then everything else is me. I mean, I'm doing all the art, I'm programming it all and everything, so.
Okay, so is this just the beginning of your career, I guess you could say? Is this just where you're starting off from, an independent development, and do you have plans for the future beyond this game?
I don't know exactly. I mean, I'll just see how people feel about it, and of course, obviously, I'll make more games. I like just making games. That's what I do, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, that's fair enough. You seem like a person that genuinely wants to make a game that people will love, but at the same time, this isn't a game that is for everyone else. It's something that you make, and you're deciding what's going into it, and so it's kind of your own expression going into it. It's not, there isn't that much input from other people right now.
No, there really isn't. I mean, of course, everyone inspires me around, but yeah, it's me, and I just want it to be a good game. Everyone else. I just want to make a good game and what it comes down to.
I feel like with Kickstarter coming around and people using, by the way, in case you didn't know, Kickstarter is an offline website. It's an online website that people that need to get funding for a project of some sort, whether it be a podcast or a movie or a game, they go there and they ask for people to help pay for it, and in return they get rewards. Do you feel like games that are made that people make because they love making games, do you think that there will be more of them because of Kickstarter? Do you feel like we'll get out of this kind of weird state where we have some independent development, there's a lot more of Call of Duty and that kind of stuff?
I mean, independent will always be there. Without it, there wouldn't be a lot of games. There are excellent games and excellent things happening through Kickstarter, and I think that's just the start of it. I mean, who knows what will happen in the future, I guess.
I guess it's kind of how do you feel like, how do you feel that this game will be received? How do you think that people will look at this game? There's a lot of complaining with video game critics, I guess, that people aren't going, they've been complained at, that people, they're not playing the games right. The critics feel that the game should be able to play right, you should be able to know how to play it right. Do you feel that there is a specific way that you want people to experience this game? Or is it just kind of, they get to decide how they want to experience it, how they want to play it?
Something that will give the right direction. When someone plays it, they'll know how to play it. And, I mean, of course, people have their own interpretations of it, but in general, everyone will get the right idea.
Okay, is there anything that you want people to know about your game? Anything else that you feel that I should have talked about or said about all? Okay, so thank you once again for coming on, and where can people go to find news about your game?
I have a Facebook, facebook.com/KINIFI, or they can just go to kinefigames.com.
Okay, so you said that you're trying to get out by summer, and I'll be looking forward to it then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.